By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Many viewers of Madani channel welcome to our morning program Rise and Shine We begin by listening to that beautiful message given to the greatest of all people Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam we listen to such a thing but just by listening to it firstly it is necessary to listen to it and then by listening to it you gain reward from it and not only do you gain reward but it brings about blessings upon a person upon his livelihood and also for those that are ill it is a means for their cure such a beautiful and such a special book my dear viewers of Madani channel special sentences words each and every single letter of it replete with blessings let's begin by listening to the beautiful verses of this holy glorious Quran صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى والضحى
Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam my dear viewers of Madani channel alhamdulillah ya azzajal you are watching Rise and Shine now today my dear viewers alhamdulillah each and every single day we speak about you know various things we have a new topic every single day now today's topic my dear viewers is quite generic it's quite general because today we shall be speaking about Islam being a way of life. Islam being a code of life, my dear viewers of Manishal. Whichever aspect you look at, Islam having a say in it, alhamdulillah, in that each and every single action of ours, each and every single part of our life, Islam teaches us how to go about it. From the beginning to the end, from when a person is born, all the way up until when a person dies, and everything in between, Islam teaches us something in regards to it. And this is the beautiful thing about Islam, is that in every matter, subhanAllah, there is a say in it, my dear viewers of Muhammad inshallah. And today we shall be learning about, yes, Islam being a way of life. But before that, after having listened to the beautiful verses of the Quran, we then move to the Naat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi
Yeah.
Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madinah Shalom, Islam is a way of life, because living in this 21st century, we see that sadly people are moving away from religion. Overall is, you know, people overall firstly are moving away from religion, but then there's also Muslims as a whole, they are distancing themselves. You know, we would, if you were to ask somebody, you know, do you pray Salah? And that person would probably say no. If you were to ask them, do your parents, do they pray Salah? And depending on which generation he's from, some may say yes, but others may also say no. But then their grandfathers, yeah, they would pray Salah. So this is how it is nowadays, my dear viewers, where even as Muslims, we have stopped practicing. Where sadly, you know, there used to be a time when we could never imagine anybody to miss one fast of Ramadan. But nowadays, there will be many people who will openly say that, no, I don't fast during Ramadan. Yes, and there are people like this who, they do not fast during the month of Ramadan. There are people who do not pray any prayers. And in fact, praying generally, especially for my generation, we did not find it much. But there was one thing that we would never miss, and this was Jummah. This was the Friday prayer. Whereas nowadays, if you were to ask people, then you would find that people would miss even the Friday prayer, or even Eid, which is generally is wajib Madi peoples, where every, you know, the amount of people that would be there for Eid, for no, you would never see the mosque as full. But nowadays, even Eid people are beginning to miss, because they don't consider it to be important. So overall, people are distancing themselves from religion. But I would like to teach you as to how this itself has brought around problems, and Islam as to how it is a solution for everything, and how by adopting the practices of Islam, this is the best, most perfect way of living one's life. We see that in this day and age, there is many killings, there's not that cohesion within the society, there's not that self-respect and also mutual respect, my dear viewers, we're losing all these things. For example, there used to be a time when everybody would know everyone within their neighborhood, whereas nowadays many do not even know our own neighbors. There would be a time when people would respect their parents so much, my dear viewers, they would really respect their parents. You know, they would always be kissing their hands. And this wasn't always for parents, it was the elderly generally also. They would kiss the hands of their parents, and they would kiss the feet of their mothers. But nowadays, how much would we hear of this? Nowadays, we're living in a time, my dear viewers, when people, they will completely leave their own parents. Yes, people will leave their own parents. So whether that be temporarily, them going on a holiday and leaving the old mother or the old father at home alone, or whether that be permanently just leaving them and abandoning them. So now there's that respect we would have, which we would have for our parents, that no longer remains. We are distancing ourselves from religion, which teaches us about respect. There used to be a time when we would never steal from people. We would never deceive people, especially in our business relations, my dear viewers. Whereas now, if people are to become partners, then there's a famous saying that you do not mix business, money and blood. What does this mean, not mixing money and blood? Meaning, don't have business dealings with your own brothers. Don't have business dealings with your own cousins, with your own relatives. Why? This is the saying. The why, my dear viewers, what they say is they don't mix, because you can never get the two together. Meaning, if you are going to do business with your relatives, if you are going to do business with your brother, then one will deceive the other and you will split up. So that's why they say that money and blood, they do not mix. Although, you know, this should teach us as to how low we have fallen, my dear viewers. We have fallen so low that, you know, it is bad, yes, deceiving a third person. But sadly, we have come to such a level where we are able to deceive our own brothers, we are able to deceive our own relatives. So Islam teaches us about business. Treating your wife or your husband with respect or honor. Treating not only your parents, but your wife, your respect, your husband with respect and honor, my dear viewers. Islam teaches us a wife should respect the rights of the husband, and similarly, the husband should respect the honor of the wives. There is so much mentioned even within the Quran itself in regards to the respect of the wife. Whereas, you know, we hear about stories, yes, that Islam, subhanAllah, brought civilization to the world. Before Islam, there used to be this, and now in this day, you know, and now Islam has taught us, yes, that's true. But even in this day and age, my dear viewers, do we still respect and honor those women in our families, those who are possibly our wives? Do we still respect those? For those women, do they still have that same respect for their husbands? Do they listen to what their husbands say? Do the husbands also honor their women? We don't have this anymore. So what I'm trying to point out from this is that as time has gone by, we have begun to distance ourselves from our religion. And by having distanced ourselves from our deen, from the teachings of the Quran, from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that of the sunnah, we have also brought about chaos in our own personal lives, in our personal lives, in our families, my dear viewers, and in our society. This is what's happened. So the fundamental cause for this is distance from religion. Whereas what we are going to learn today, inshallah, is if we were to act, or if our actions were to be in accordance and congruent to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, then many problems we would face today, or many problems we face today, we would not be facing. Let's begin, subhanAllah, let's begin with, or by listening to the respect of wives, or to the respect of women overall. Before the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught us or gave us the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, wives would be disrespected. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed ayat, not just one, my dear viewers, but many ayat, many verses of the Quran in defense of women, in terms of the rights of women even. One verse is, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُوا النِّسَاءَ كَرْهًا. This is one example, and the, you know, it continues and continues, my dear viewers. One wrong act which would occur would be that when somebody, even a relative, would pass away, then they would even inherit wives. They would inherit wives. So some people, what they would do is they would continue to divorce the wife, and then while she is in her waiting period, they would keep on taking her back. They would keep taking her back. So the wife is not happy within the relationship, and neither do they allow her to leave. All my dear viewers of Madani Channel, when somebody would pass away, they would inherit them, or they would even buy them or sell them. They would be treated like any ordinary product. But in the glorious Quran, we have been ordered not to do this. We have been prohibited from doing this, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, from disrespecting wives or disrespecting women overall. So that's in terms of wives, that, you know, you should respect them. It said, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, that they are your clothing and you are their clothing. Where without your clothing, you know, nobody can go about their day-to-day life. You cannot go about your day-to-day life without your clothing. You need your clothing. And this is your adornment. So for a man, his wife is his adornment. For a woman, her husband is her adornment. There should be mutual respect. There should be respect both ways, my dear viewers. Sometimes nowadays, sadly, now, you know, we've taken an example from the time before Islam, but let's also take an example from today. The example from today, my dear viewers, is something which is known as lockdown. This is the term used, lockdown, where a wife, some wives wish to keep their husbands on lockdown. And what I mean by lockdown, for those that don't understand, inshallah, I will explain. And some husbands say, you know, we have our wife on lockdown. What does this mean? That whatever I say goes. Whatever I say, that's what shall happen. If I say to him or to her to come home, then she must come home. Or if he consider it the other way, if the wife says to the husband to come home, then he must do it. If he says do this, don't go out, you're not allowed to go here, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. This is what people consider lockdown, my dear viewers, where one possesses close to complete authority or complete control over the other. Now, this is something which is contrary to the teachings of Islam. No. It should be that the father or the husband, he is the head of the house, but both have their own rights. Yes, the husband should respect the wife, and similarly the wife should also respect the husband. So if there's something which is against Islam, then the husband should prevent the wife from doing such. But the wife should also, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, she should, yes, she should obey him, but when the wife has her needs which she wishes for, then the husband should also respect those. And Islam has taught us mutual respect between the wife and the husband. This is one example, my dear viewers. Whereas nowadays we're always talking about this person's on lockdown and that person's on lockdown. No, it shouldn't be. And sometimes you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid of people. You know, so we fear, sadly. Some people think it's not manly. People think it's not manly if you were to be kind to your wife. Why not? Let's take the example of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how he would treat his wives with respect, with honor. With respect and honor, so much so, it said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent an entire army forward. An entire army he sent forward in order to have a race with his beloved wife. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respecting and honoring his wife, my dear viewers. So there's no such thing as having it, you know, one way, or yes, you know, it's wrong to be so, you know, nice to your wife, especially in front of people. Some people think, you know, that's not manly. No, my dear viewers. Or if you call, for example, this is another example, where if your wife was to call you, and then you were to come home, and some people would think, oh, that's it, she's called, and immediately he's come. You should be proud, yes, alhamdulillah. You know, yes, she's called me, and subhanallah, yes, I've come happily. You shouldn't be ashamed of these things, and sadly some people are, really. Sadly some people are. No, you should respect, you should honor your wives, my dear viewers. This is one example. It's the other way around also. Undoubtedly, the wife should also respect and honor the husband. If the husband has something to do, if he wishes to do something, then you should respect that. Sometimes if the husband has to leave, even if he has to go out of country, then she should respect them, my dear viewers. This is one example in terms of women. Another is daughters, even in this day and age, very, very sadly, even in this day and age. I'm going to give you an example. You know, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's another matter. Yes, daughters would be buried alive. But even in this day and age, my dear viewers, we see that if a woman was to be pregnant, subhanallah, then people will do dua for them. But whatever dua it will be, it will always be, may Allah give you a boy. Now sadly we even see this from the, you know, grandmothers also, even from the mother's side. The grandmothers, my dear viewers, even they do the same dua. What's the reason for this? Why not may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your granddaughter? Due to the reward, you know, it's mentioned of the Hadith Sharif also about that person who looks after three daughters. The companions asked, Ya Rasulullah, if it was two? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, even those who look after two daughters. And the companion, the Rawi, he says that even if you were to ask about one, the Prophet ﷺ would say yes. That even if you were to look after and take care of one daughter, she shall be your means of reward for Jannah, my dear viewers. So why is it that in this day and age, whenever a woman is pregnant, people will always say, you know, may Allah give you a son. Why? Subhanallah, you know, you should reply that, Subhanallah, may Allah grant me a daughter, inshallah. And do dua, may Allah grant me a daughter. Even in this day and age, sadly, you know, we consider, my dear viewers, that sometimes hatred, you see, sometimes it does be hatred. Because sometimes some people are such that if they were to have a daughter, they don't show them as much love. They don't show them as much care as if they were to have a son. This is also very, very sad and it's completely wrong. Islam teaches us respect for even sisters, daughters, whatever, whoever it may be, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel. This is one example. This is, you know, in terms of husband, wife, etc. Secondly, is in terms of parents, my dear viewers. And before we do go to our second one, let's first go to today's reminder, inshallah, and then we'll speak a little about parents. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Salute Al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have the luxuries of life around us. We have the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. We have beautiful homes. We have hot water. We have soft carpets. We have everything. And yet, with everything that we have, we still fail to prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. In a beautiful hadith of Mubarakah, for those who miss their salah, having all the luxuries of life, let me share with you a narration that makes the heart tremble. It is narrated that the one who misses his salah on the day of judgment will be raised with Fir'aun, Allahu Akbar. And the scholars write that the reason for this is that people miss their salah due to wealth, due to rule, due to ministries, due to trade. And so on the day of judgment, they will be the cursed people. How embarrassing will it be for them when they are raised with the enemies of Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you've got the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal there watching, and you're resurrected and placed with these cursed souls, with these people who are disliked by the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, upon whom the curse of Allah and the angels and the good people will be. And on that day, when you stood in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal with these despicable and disgusting people, Allahu Akbar, the one who does not pray, the one who does not prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who does not bow in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, on the day of resurrection, will find himself stood next to these cursed people. How important was this salah? How crucial to our existence was prostrating in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? That even if you were ill, you were still obliged to pray. Even if you were traveling, the salah was reduced, but you were still obliged to pray. At the time of battle, there was no escape from it. If you had no water, the command was to perform tayammum, but still pray your salah. If you couldn't stand up on your own two feet, the command was to lean against a wall or seek help to stand and still pray. If you couldn't stand, then the command was to sit down and pray, but you still had to pray. If you couldn't sit down, the command was to lie down and pray. If you couldn't lie down or move your limbs, then the command was to pray with gestures. But even in that state, no matter if a man or a woman, no matter if they were in a wheelchair and they had no water, the command was to get yourself to a wall, to dust, and rub the dust over your face and your arms and pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because the glorious Quran commanded us more than 750 times. More than 750 times. To prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. To pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The amazing Quran told us that this is the best remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. This was a great gift. This was your Lord calling you to bless you, to send mercies upon you. This was an invitation to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. And yet, today, we've got time for everything. We've got time for social media. We've got time to go to the gym. We've got time to bench press and lift weights. We've got time to do the DIY around the house. We've got time to do the garden. We've got time to repair the cars. But the one thing that we don't have time for is salah and prostrating in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, the essence of your creation. The first question on the day of judgment. And the quality of your life all demand that you prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Salu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Salu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala, alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if you are watching Rise and Shine, today we are speaking about Islam being a way of life. Now, I don't want to get too much into relations. So subhanAllah, we've spoken, you know, between the husband and wife, there should be mutual respect. Also, that of the parents, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, subhanAllah, within the glorious Quran itself, we have been told that even when the parents grow old, generally, you should always respect and honor your parents. And this is stated, my dear viewers, in Islam, subhanAllah, that no matter how bad your parents are, no matter how bad they are, even then, it is your duty to still respect them. Whatever they order you to do, you should do it, as long as it's not against Islam, no. If it's something which is contradictory to the teachings of Islam, then no, not in that case. Otherwise, my dear viewers, it doesn't matter the state of your parents, but you should respect and honor your parents. Also, your children, try to give your children a good teaching. But let's move aside from relations, my dear viewers, and let's move towards, let's just say, the business side. Now, within business, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, firstly, you know, there are many things. If you look at it in terms of relation, also we have those people who are below us, meaning our employees. Now, it is necessary for you to respect your employees. Remember, on the day of judgment, we shall be asked about everybody who is below us. Everybody we are responsible for, we will be asked as to how we dealt with that person. One of those people are those who work with you. You know, it could be a person who's traveled with you. It could be anybody who simply, my dear viewers, you know, it could be your neighbor, it could be anybody, my dear viewers. But more importantly, let's just look at employees. Now, you should respect your employees. If they are to do something wrong, it has been mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that a slave of his has served him for 10 years. 10 years, my dear viewers. He was freed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years, and not once, subhanAllah, it's difficult to actually allow this to sink in, but literally not even once did the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam deal with him in a bad manner, in a wrong manner. In fact, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would smile in such a way that I would understand that I had done something wrong. This was the manner Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would treat him. And you know, we hear examples like Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu in terms of business, where he had, you know, this was his ruling. He would never praise his own goods. For example, I may have a phone in front of me, let's just say even a glass. I wouldn't say, oh yes, this is the strongest glass you can get. Or, you know, this glass is brilliant because of this or because of that. Especially when people are selling cars, and defects they'll hide. Or when it comes to selling cars, my dear viewers, there's a lot of changes they'll do. There's a lot of hiding they'll do. They won't inform you about many things. Even for example, the distance traveled, that could also be changed, and people will change it, and they'll deceive people that no, it's hardly being driven, etc., etc. It's mentioned by Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu that his rule was he would not praise his own products. So once a person came and he said, I will give you 4,000 for this, or maybe 400 it was, for this particular piece of cloth. So he asked his son, Hazrat Hamad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to bring that piece of cloth down. So Hazrat Hamad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood upon a stool or a ladder or whatever it may have been. And as he got up to take it, he recited the Rujif. He said, Allahumma salli wa sallim. وبارك على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Imam Azam radiallahu anhu, immediately he said, leave it up there, you come back down. And he said to the person, I am sorry, I cannot sell you this product. He's thinking, why not? He replied, because I have a rule. I do not praise my own items. I do not praise them. You take a look at them, if you like them, you purchase them. If you do not like them, then leave them. Allahu Akbar. He said he does not praise them, although all his son did was to recite the Ruh Sharif. But why did he recite the Ruh Sharif? Expressing his interest in the cloth. The greatness of the cloth, possibly the quality of the cloth, my dear viewers. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said from a very young age, he was a brilliant businessman. He was a brilliant businessman. Just by looking at a particular cloth, he would know its material and its worth. This is how good he was. So he could have earned a lot of money. But he stuck to not deceiving people and respecting people's rights, being open, explaining things to people. Once it's mentioned that, again, the example of Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he asked somebody to go and sell a particular item. But he said, make sure you tell this person that there is also this problem with the item. So that person, he took these pieces of cloth and he went and he sold them. He sold them for a very large amount of money. And when he returned, he was asked that, did you tell him of this? He replied, no, I forgot. And now that person was nowhere to be found. He had the entire amount, my dear viewers of Madan Shalom, he had distributed as sadaqah. Why? Because he had fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nowadays, because again we have distanced ourselves from Islam, from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was the perfect, the best way of life, and nowadays for this reason we are suffering from being deceived by any, Tom, Zed and Harry, my dear viewers, any random person. And sadly sometimes we think, these particular people, Muslims sometimes, we think that, no, we can't trust this person, he might deceive me. And then, as the saying, as we mentioned, that blood and money do not mix. Allahu Akbar, this is the level we have come to, my dear viewers. Why? Because we have distanced ourselves from Islam, we have distanced ourselves from our religion. It's mentioned in terms of one person. Before we do move on to our next segment, inshallah, that one particular person, he sent a huge ship amount of goods to Basra. And he said to his worker that as soon as you get there, you must sell them all. So his worker went there and he heard from another merchant that if you are to wait one or two days, then you will get double the amount. Because there will be less amongst the people and there will be more of a need. Then you will gain double the profit. And that person, he then waited one or two days, excited, he sold all the goods, he gained double the profit. So then he informed the owner, happily, this is what I've done. The owner said, go and give all of the money, distribute it. Why? As sadaqah. Why? Reason being was he took advantage of people's needs. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives. He said, we would have been satisfied with the profit we would have gained. We did not need to take this advantage. Although it was not wrong. But it shows us, my dear viewers, how we should have this love for these other people. We should, before money, my dear viewers, we should care about the person himself. Rather than caring about how much can I gain out of this person. Sometimes something may be worth, £10, but if they know that this person, he'll pay anything for it, this person doesn't know much, they say, it's worth £100 in the shop. Here, I'll give you for 50. So these lies, my dear viewers, when we are close to Islam, we do not need to lie. And if we do act upon the teachings, then we wouldn't have all these problems. So this is in terms of business. Let's move to our next segment. Then inshallah we shall hear a little more. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, the segment is the daily hadith. In this segment we learn about the prophetic saying, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. And today the hadith we have selected is from Sahih Muslim. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Mas'ud Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu quotes that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has been reported to have said, "Man dalla ala khayrin falahu mithlu ajri fa'ilihi," meaning the one who would show the righteous path to the other, he will also attain the same amount of reward as the person who would act upon and perform that good deed. Allahu Akbar. So in the sharah, explanation and commentary of this hadith, it has been mentioned that the one who performs good deed, the one who motivates for this, and the one who tells about it, the one who advises, all of them get the reward. Allahu Akbar. So my dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, a beautiful way to earn reward is to give invitation towards righteousness, is to tell people for good, to stop them from evil. Yes, definitely, there are so many other rulings involved in it, when it is proper time, appropriate to do, who should do, whom should you do, what is the right time, right place to do this. You need to learn more. But subhanAllah, dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, if one knows all the related rulings and then he performs this beautiful act to invite people towards righteousness, having the knowledge, inshallah azza wa jal, he will also attain the reward. I'll give you one example. You are going to offer your salah and your brothers and sisters are around you. You can invite them, but please also offer salah. You're going to masjid, you can invite your brothers that you can also join you to go to masjid, right? You are reciting durood upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You can motivate your fellow Muslim brothers. You can tell your colleagues, your family members, if you know any appropriate and authentic riwayah, narration, subhanAllah, and excellence, then you can tell them, you can motivate them to do good. And inshallah, if they do act upon what you have motivated them for, they will get the reward, but inshallah, exact amount of reward you will also receive according to this hadith of Aqa Kareem alayhi salatu wassalam. The respected viewers of Madani Channel, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has mentioned in another hadith in Sunan Abu Dawud, it has been mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "By Allah, if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives someone hidayah, guidance through you, then this is better for you than the red camels." Respected viewers of Madani Channel, if one person gets hidayah, guidance through our efforts, then the comparison is red camels. So we can understand how much worth it is to invite people towards righteousness, to invite them towards hidayah, guidance. Inshallah azza wa jal, you will get the reward and the person will perform. Inshallah azza wa jal, he will also attain the reward. Hope inshallah azza wa jal, you will be acting upon beautiful hadith, and the beautiful way is to join Dawat-e-Islami's beautiful atmosphere, because it provides you the platform to invite people towards righteousness and stop them from evil, and to rectify yourself and the people of the whole world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. ما شاء الله. That was our daily hadith sharif segment, my dear viewers. Quickly, we need to move on to the next segment. As subhanAllah, today it is Monday, and today is all about the health. How we should look after our health. Now, there's many ways. Some things which we have no control over, my dear viewers. You know, sometimes we don't, or many a time, there are many things we don't have control over, but we can refrain from if we are to begin to eat healthy. You know, those foods which are bad for us, those which are not good for us, to refrain from those, as many of the illnesses are just due to the foods we eat, my dear viewers. But then, in a condition where somebody has had some sort of major problem, then what to do about those? Let's see what our doctor Saab has for us today, and then we shall speak a little more, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Many Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you're watching program Rise and Shine and segment is Health is Wealth. Alhamdulillah, we're back with another beautiful segment of health tips. Dr. Shehzad Hussain Ashrafi is with us. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dr. Saab, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much for giving once again your precious time to us. In the last segment, we were talking about atrial fibrillation. So I would like to just pose you first the question. We've talked about a bit of the causes and how is the mechanism works to this problem and how is it linked to stroke. But today in specific, I would like to ask about the treatment and what help is available, how can we avoid and what treatment is available in this regard.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So very briefly, I would like to talk 1 minute so viewers remember a catch-up. Atrial fibrillation is irregular heartbeat, one specific type of irregular heartbeat. You can try to find, you cannot diagnose, but you can raise a suspicion by just doing a pulse check. And by doing a pulse check, if there is an irregular rhythm, then you should consult your doctor, and your doctor will take it further. Because it causes a stasis in the heart, and it increases blood clot formation inside the heart, thus that clot can cause a stroke. So that's how it is linked, with the heart atrial fibrillation condition causing a stroke. Now, once you have a diagnosis, so briefly about diagnosis, sometimes a single strip of ECG, you are able to pick up that this patient has an atrial fibrillation and be diagnosed. Sometimes, as it is paroxysmal, sometimes it doesn't always be present, we can hit and miss. So longer recording, maybe a 24-hour recording, so there will be a machine put on your chest, you go home, and that records for whole 24 hours.
Okay.
Or sometimes even longer, up to 5 to 7 days of recording is required to diagnose this condition, so which will be done in a specialist center. Now you have a diagnosis of atrial fibrillation. There are certain treatments which can help in cure, but again, those treatments have not been 100% success rate. So there are some procedures done to the heart. What we try to do is we try to repair the scar formation inside the heart, which is causing this oozing out of electricity, thus causing atrial fibrillation. But we all sort of have perceived, and the guidelines and the researchers have sort of accepted to a degree, that even then the long-term monitoring, cautious monitoring is required. Okay. In these situations. So treating the atrial fibrillation is very difficult, but treating the cause, complications or what the diseases which are caused by atrial fibrillation are not that difficult.
Okay.
So now I'll go back to an analogy that, okay, forget it, we can't treat the atrial fibrillation. Let's suppose we can't.
Okay.
Now, What is causing the stroke is a blood clot formation inside the heart.
Right.
We can certainly prevent that happening.
Yeah.
So now there comes in the blood thinners. What we do is we thin the blood to a degree that it reduces chances of clot formation inside the heart. There is no clot formation inside the heart. The clot can't go to anywhere, and thus we prevent the stroke. Okay. Now, these blood thinners are previously, in previous time, it was called warfarin. So warfarin was a tablet for a long, long time, for decades, we used to use to the patients who have atrial fibrillation. But nowadays, other than warfarin, there are other type of tablets, we call it the direct oral anticoagulants, are also available. But this is a matter of a special.
Are they available over the counter, or you have to take prescription?
So the medications are very specialized, and they will have to be prescribed by a doctor.
Okay.
So they are not available, and I would highly recommend of not starting any tablet by yourself without consulting a doctor, because that could be dangerous.
Well, the reason I asked, because there are certain tablets which are available over the counter, so it was important for the information.
Yes. So even then, when you, my advice to the viewers, that even the medications which are available on the counter,
so you
please read the label.
Definitely.
Because there might be some conditions which you have, that tablet might not be suitable.
Right.
So it's always better to be check with the, at least the pharmacist.
And avoid self-medication.
Rather than just going and taking any random medication. That's very important.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
So these are the blood thinners, what happens is this reduces statistically about 2/3 of a risk of a stroke. So when somebody taking those tablets, they are less likely to have a stroke than they would not have taken a tablet.
Okay.
Now, they are very powerful blood thinners, so we have to be careful when we take them.
Okay.
Now, when we start taking blood thinners, first of all, it's important that the patients often are older, so they're elderly. They may have other comorbidity. Their kidney functions may not be as normal as it should be. Those things will be managed by specialists, but as a patient, you should look after your body as well, because you are taking medication that have an effect on the body overall. Now, they are powerful blood thinners, so that makes you prone to bleed. So the commonest thing it could happen is when you cut yourself, you are likely to bleed longer than you would normally bleed.
Right.
If you bruise yourself, the bruises will be bigger than normally bleed. Sometimes that increases bleeding from, say, somebody has an epistaxis, a nosebleed, their frequency could go up. If you have these minor things, my advice is do not stop this tablet, because sometime the time when you stop this tablet, that is actually at the highest risk of having a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So one who is not taking tablet at all versus somebody who was taking and stopped the tablet, this person had higher risk for a certain time than somebody who was never taking the tablet. So that's important, that do not stop the tablet without consulting the doctor. Other thing is be vigilant about when you are taking this tablet. So there are certain tablets which comes with some food interaction. So for example, warfarin, if somebody taking warfarin, cranberry juice, for example, it is very rich in vitamin K.
Sure.
They should avoid cranberry juice when they are taking warfarin. Antibiotics, when you have an infection and you are taking this tablet, certain type of antibiotic has some effects with this tablet.
Okay.
So please let the team know that you are taking this tablet. So they take care of you in different ways. They monitor you closely, and they look after you from that point of view as well. So that's certain medications also important. And the third and most important thing I would like to say is falling over. So multiple injuries. If somebody's old, have to be cautious when they're walking, how they're walking. The lesser the chance of fall and sustain a head injury, the lesser the chance of having complications or complications by, because it can bleed anywhere.
Right.
If you're on a blood thinner, so anything which could minimize your bleeding risk that should be considered.
MashaAllah. Also, the time has, I think, finished probably. Just would like to recap. We've been talking about the stroke and we've been talking about different main leading causes. And atrial fibrillation is one of the main leading causes of stroke, blood clot. And you also told that 40 to 46, 45% of the patients,
roughly,
they are linked with this sort of cause. So definitely it's very important, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, in this very short span of time, we have given you a bit of information, a bit of awareness for your interest and information. But hopefully, inshallah, you can read more about it on NHS websites about it, and you can gain more information. Inshallah, Zawajal, we'll come back with another interesting and informative episode of Health is Wealth. Keep watching Rise and Shine, Madani Channel. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, time for this program has come to an end. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end.